Hi, I have Mark Snyder on the line. Mark, this is Rufus.
Hi, Rufus.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks very much for calling in, and I really enjoyed the movie.
Oh, thanks very much.
It's a cool movie. It's called The Last King, and I feel like calling you Your Highness.
Yeah, well, my wife didn't take to it, so I don't expect you to.
Well, you did a nice job playing the king there.
Oh, thank you. I seem to have done a run of them recently. I'm actually looking for jobs that don't involve wearing your crowns at the moment. It's quite hard.
Well, you know, being British, though, it might be a good thing to be the king all the time, you know?
Well, maybe, but the thing is, what's funny is I never was a royalist.
No?
So it's quite strange to actually play the part of someone who obviously believes that being king is right, because it's something I never did, but it was very interesting for the period of 4 months when we were filming to become an ardent royalist and then ditch it again when I left.
Have you ever met any of the royal family?
I did. I met the Queen once.
Yeah.
So it was rather boring, actually. I just kept thinking, you're not as good as my granny.
So what exactly did you do when you met the Queen?
I stood there rather limply and waited for her to pass on. It all felt kind of pointless.
Oh, yeah. So did you actually get a chance to speak any words to her?
Well, I had something planned. When I saw the look in her eyes, just complete boredom, I didn't bother, and she just moved on and spoke to Andrew Lloyd Webber and had much more fun with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, tell us a little bit about
experience with royalty.
Tell us about your background. I mean, you know, you're a superstar in England, and
I wouldn't say that.
Taking America by storm now. That's what they tell me, you know.
Is it?
That's in my notes. So, now, I guess you're filming a movie right now called Light in the Sky?
No, people keep telling me that. I've never heard of it.
You're kidding.
I've never heard of this.
Well, your PR people are not doing a good job.
Well, it's on the internet. It says, and it's also on the Internet Movie Database, that I'm currently filming Light in the Sky.
Yeah, with Ryan Philippe.
That's why I've never heard of it. I mean, it sounds like quite a nice job.
You're Rufus. You could be filming in another life. You don't know.
Maybe I am, but, you know, as long as the check comes through to me in this life, I'm happy.
Now, I know you did A Knight's Tale. I love that movie. That's a great film.
Uh-huh. And yeah, that was also in Prague, because we filmed Charles II in Prague also for 4 months. And then I went straight back to Prague to do another movie, Tristan and Isolde, which is a movie with Kevin Reynolds movie.
Wow.
Where I played another king. And so last year I spent 11 months in Prague, in the Czech Republic. I'm going back in about 3 days to finish that movie off. So, and Knight's Tale was also in Prague for 6 months, so I know Prague pretty well now.
Wow. Now, you also did A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger, of course.
That's right.
And what was it like working with Heath, and how'd you enjoy filming on that one?
Well, Heath's a very good friend of mine now. me and Heath were actually out there 2 months before filming started, just to do 2 hours of horse riding every day for training. So that was quite fun. We bonded pretty well over that period, because there was nothing else to do. We just kind of went out in Prague a lot. By the time filming started, we had to buckle down and do a bit of hard work. But we were there for a very long time, and he's become a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, now you also did, according to the material, which I'm not sure how accurate it is.
You don't trust it now.
But you did a film with Kim Basinger as well?
That's right, called Bless the Child.
How was that? I don't think I've ever seen that one.
No, well, I think I did, my mum did, and my agent did.
That was a quote-unquote thriller?
It was a scary movie. I played the leader of a satanic cult.
Ooh.
Yes, and he was a pretty evil guy I was playing. I mean, it was a baddie that I was playing in Knight's Tale. The baddie in Knight's Tale was nothing on this guy. It was basically me, Kim Basinger, and this 6-year-old girl who we were both battling for, because she was the new savior, and I wanted her on the dark side.
Ah.
So we filmed that in Toronto.
Now, is that on video, so I wanted to watch it?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It went there very quickly.
How about Dangerous Beauty? Is that around still?
I haven't seen it myself for a long time, but I believe it is.
Naomi Watts, I always liked her.
That's right, Naomi played my wife in that.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal.
No, not a bad deal at all. She's a great girl. She's very nice.
And Catherine McCormick was in that as well.
Yeah, another great actress.
Yeah, I think this is hilarious. This, your bio here says, this is what it says. He is currently filming Light in the Sky, a drama based on a true story that's set in World War II about two soldiers who fight the Germans with the help of a Bavarian couple. Ryan Philippe, Mina Savary, and Robert Carlyle co-star.
Oh, really?
So, just in case you didn't know you were starring in that, you might want to know now.
Well, so I should be. Well, I hope that it's not just a matter of my agents forgetting to tell me and they're not waiting around on set for me now.
So, the next time an interviewer says to you, so Rufus, how is you know, the filming going with Light in the Sky? You should say, well, it's great. You know, me and Mina, we're really getting along well. And,
yeah, I'll be prepared. I'll be prepared next time. Well, Mina's a great girl, you know.
Yeah, she's great. We've been having a wild affair, and you know.
Well, I think I'll stop short of that.
Well, you know, yeah, we can get in the tabloids, you know.
Yeah, well, that's not my greatest ambition.
Have you actually had anything written about you in the tabloids?
Oh God, I've had all sorts of rubbish written about me in the tabloids. Yeah.
What was the coolest thing that someone wrote about you that wasn't true?
No, it's never cool. It's always stupid.
What was the most stupid thing?
Completely untrue. Completely stupid.
What was the most stupid thing written about you?
The most stupid thing was a 2-page expose of my secret affair with Emma Thompson. It was in the Daily Mail. And I hadn't seen Emma Thompson for 6 years.
Really?
Yeah, and it was this big moment. My agent phoned me up and said, Rufus, can I ask you some questions about what you've been doing the last few months? And my girlfriend at the time was rather upset to read it too. So that caused, there was the actual expose, as it were, took 2 pages, and the public apology a week later was something like half a sentence in the corner of a page.
Of course, yeah. Now,
so now whenever I do interviews, people refer to my affair with Emma Thompson.
Now, what did Emma have to think about all this stuff? Did you ever talk to her?
My agent phoned her and asked just to check she was all right about it, and she said, well, he never asked.
Tell me a little bit about the Last King, about the filming and all this. It looks like it's a really interesting film. I really liked it, but it's 4 hours long.
That's right.
It's on it's on this Sunday at 8 o'clock on A&E Network.
Well, it's already been on TV for the BBC, because it's a BBC and A&E co-production, so it's already been on BBC One here. And it was shown in 4 parts over 4 weeks.
Your character is the most horny individual I've ever seen in my life. He's with different women.
Every hornier than anyone else. It's
every
just that
time.
Thing. It just helps.
Every time that you turn around, he's with a different woman. I had to get a scorecard out.
Well, you know, in reality, he went with a lot more women than we show.
Really?
But, well, we couldn't do the full story because it would end up being top shelf video, you know. It needed to be watchable. But the fact is, through the course of his life, he only ever was with one woman at a time. He was a serial philanderer, but he never had 2 lovers go at the same time. They all had their day, you know. He was with different women for years at a time, but he lived a long time. So, so every few years he'd have a different lady going. But people asked what was it about him that made him so successful with women, but it was purely the fact that he was a king. Believe me, in those days, if you had a crown, it was easier to pick a girl up in a bar.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, Prince Charles has had one for years. It didn't seem to help him that much.
Yeah, well,
I mean, he got Princess Di was lovely, but the other woman that he's with is not exactly a beauty.
Well, you never know till you're there, do you? You never know what's going on in someone's house, really, do you? No matter what you read.
Well, that's true. You know, it's interesting. This is almost like, it seems like fiction, but I understand this is really pretty much a true story, though.
Oh, it's very much a true story.
Yeah.
Through the course of his life, I mean, it's very interesting because of the period that he came in. He was in exile for much of his youth because of the revolution that happened in England, and Cromwell took over, and his father was executed. So by the time Cromwell's lot became very unpopular, and Cromwell died, and his son, who was supposed to take over, was a real weakling, the British public wanted the king back. So by the time he came back, he was very, very careful to make sure he didn't lose his head like his father. So
yes.
He was a very canny individual. He was always concentrating on how to keep the throne and how not to make the mistakes that his father did to lose his head, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is that he was actually right underneath his father when that
execution. No, he wasn't. That's a dream sequence.
Oh, that was a dream sequence.
Yeah, that was a dream sequence.
I thought it was real, that it was really true.
No, he wasn't. At the time he was about 14 years old and in another country. If they'd known he was underneath his father, they'd have gone and got him and chopped his head off too.
Mm. Well, I'm glad to hear that. See, I missed that whole thing when I was watching the film.
Yeah, a few people do, actually. You're not the only one. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's dumb Americans. We can't get these things.
Oh, it's dumb all of us.
Well, now, what other things are you doing besides, I know you're not doing Light in the Sky, so what actually are you up to now besides promoting this film?
Well, I'm going back to Prague in a couple of days to finish off filming Tristan and Isolde.
Yeah.
Which I've been filming with James Franco and Sophia Miles. and that's like a 9th century kind of Arthurian adventure love story, and that's being produced by Ridley Scott and directed by Kevin Reynolds. And I play another king, funnily enough, as I said, my whole spate of them. I played Agamemnon, then it was Charles II, and now King Mark. Starts off Lord Mark in the script, he ends up being crowned.
King Mark, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That was the name I used to use.
Oh, really?
Before I just used Mark Snyder, I was King Mark.
Did it work for you?
Yeah. It didn't work that well in America. So I dropped the King.
Here, believe me.
Yeah. So now, how did you get your start in acting?
How did I get my start? Well, I went to drama school in London, a place called the Central School of Speech and Drama, which we always called the Central School of Screech and Trauma. And I was there for 3 years, and Judi Dench actually came to direct us in a play once.
Wow.
She put me in contact with her agent, who took me on, and then I did years of theatre and TV before I started getting into films. But just a long, hard slog, basically.
Do you know what your PR piece says here, along with the fact that you were starting in light of this guy? It says, a suave and sexy British import. He's following in the footsteps of the legendary Laurence Olivier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who writes this stuff?
I don't know. It's pretty good, though. I mean, if you could really follow in his footsteps, that'd be pretty good foot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what was your first break in terms of, you said that obviously Judi Dench getting you management was a good break, but...
Well, my first break, really, was I played a Czechoslovakian hustler spy in a play called Making It Better, and from that, it was a small play in London, but from that I got a big TV series for the BBC called Middlemarch, in which I played Will Ladislaw. That was a few years ago. And at the same time, I got a play at the National Theatre directed by Trevor Nunn, a new Tom Stoppard play called Arcadia, and I did the two of them back to back. And that really started me off, because Arcadia was a huge thing in England, and later on everywhere else, but because it was a brand new play by Tom Stoppard at the National Theatre. And at the same time, on my weeks off, I was filming Arcadia, filming Middlemarch, so that really started me off.
Wow. So the things are going well, and you're going back. You might as well get a house in Prague, huh?
Yeah, it's the last place I want to be when the job finishes. It's a beautiful place, but 16 months pretty much on the trot in another country that isn't your home is always a little bit wearying.
Mark, could you please wrap up?
Okay. Rufus, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And good luck. Just folks out there, remember The Last King is on A&E. It's a 4-hour series. It's on at 8 o'clock on Sunday, March 21st. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. Hope you enjoy it.
Bye-bye.